Before I begin, I just want to say thank you as a church. You know, Jim mentioned, you know, Street Connect is your charity for Mission of the Month. So thank you so much for the way you've supported us in prayer, financially and other ways over the years. We really value you as a church and the way that you've shown love towards all we do. So thank you so much. Have we got any gardeners in the house? Yes, there's some smiling faces, so there is. So I'm going to ask you to, before I begin, forgive me, because I am not a gardener yet, but I do. I've learned to enjoy that as a way of rest. I'm starting to anyway. So we bought a house in October of 2021, so it's about 16 months ago in Govan. You know, we've lived there for 10 years. We felt God calling us to that community. And so we bought this house, and it had a bigger garden than our last place. But we noticed, we moved in there in October, so in the middle of autumn. And we seen there was this tree, and there was a couple of bushes. And it was after a little while, got chatting to one of the neighbours over the fence. And he said, oh, that's a plum tree and that's gooseberry bush. And we were like, oh, we were quite excited because we'd always wanted like fruit trees and to grow some of our own organic fruit in our garden. So spring comes, you know, the leaves come on and then start to see the flowering and then the fruit growing. But I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, oh, that doesn't really look like plums. That doesn't really look like gooseberries. And I'm thinking, but what do I know? So he said he's lived here for 10 years, so I'm going to trust what he's saying. So the fruit's growing on, and I'm starting to look at the tree. It's really a big, a lot of fruit is growing on this tree. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, oh, they look like cherries. And I thought, I wonder if, you know, and I looked, started researching into it. I thought, oh, you can get cherry plums. I thought, oh, there must be that. So my wife's mum came over and she says, oh, and she said, I says, they're not ready yet, don't start picking them. And then the pigeons started coming. And so I realised I've got a bit of my battle. And then another, before I tried to cover them in nets. And I'm looking at them, I think, they look delicious. And then over, he's convinced the neighbour, these are plums. I'm thinking, I don't think they are plums. And then I started eating them and they were beautiful. They were actually cherries. And so the pigeons had enjoyed about a third of the tree before I got to finally taking them off. But I share that story and just thinking, you know, of how that tree, and also we had black currants and red currants in the garden, so I'll be better prepared coming into this year. But just thinking of these fruit bushes and trees and just how they go through the seasons. And when we think of the vine, you know, as Jesus shares the story of the vine in this parable, when we just think of how the vine produces fruit, you know, the energy, the sap, when it comes into the autumn, it's starting to go back down and restore into the roots. Come winter, you know, as the leaves fall off and then start to come back out to the branches in the spring and into producing the fruit in the summer. And I think sometimes, you know, the way that God's made the vine, the way that he's made these fruit trees and bushes, and I think when I compare that to ourselves at times, when I think of myself, you know, how sometimes we strive to produce the fruit and we want to make things happen and, you know, we're pushing forward in things. And I said how earlier how I was on sabbatical last summer. That had been full-time doing the work of Street Connect for, it was about 8.5 years. So I was very much in need of a period of rest. And I think that's important to get that time out with the Lord. And so when I had that time off, a central scripture to me was when Jesus speaks to in Matthew 6, when he says, come to me all who are weary and burdened. Sorry, Matthew 14 is, and I come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know, and I just think sometimes in that, you know, I think how I've been tired and weary at times, because, you know, Jesus wants us to be yoked to him to lead. And sometimes I think we can push that hard ourselves, and we get tired, we get weary, we get burdened with the work that God calls us to. When Jesus wants us to live from that place of abiding and allowing him to lead us forward. Because the weight of ministry and the weight of what we do for God can sometimes be overwhelming. But I want to, before going any further, I want to remind us that we're all in ministry and service to the King. Whether we're in full-time, more formal ministry roles, or we work in the marketplace, or we're retired. You know, we're all ambassadors of the King in the sphere that he has placed us, because he's given each of us a sphere of influence and connections to people. You know, you'll have connections to some people that I don't, and a sphere of influence over others that I wouldn't have. And God wants us to be his ambassadors to those places where he has called us into, where we live our lives. But I think if we try to bear fruit in our own strength, and we're not operating from that place of abiding in him, then as Jesus says, we won't bear fruit. Because let's read again what it says in verse 4. Jesus says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." So yeah, as I said, I don't know about you, but I sometimes have the tendency to get ahead of God at times and try to produce that fruit. You know, when we think of that fruit tree I had, it just does it naturally. It goes with the seasons, and it just, the fruit comes in the right time. And that's where I think Jesus wants us to learn to be, from that place of abiding. Because as he goes on and says in verse 5, he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." And I think what Jesus really wants us to do, and God wants, he wants us to be increasing our dependency on him. When I was off on sabbatical, and I was reflecting over my life, really, and over, you know, the past, it was last summer, I'd been a Christian, I became a Christian 2007 down in Teen Challenge, and I was reflecting over some of the great work God had done in my life, and over the past, what had been, you know, 10 years or more of serving him kind of almost in a full-time capacity, and just thinking, you know, how I loved serving the Lord. I love seeing people coming to faith. I love seeing God working through our lives and working in other people's lives. But I think that he wants us to increase that dependency on him. Because as I thought about that, sometimes I had pushed hard. And I think sometimes God knows the only way that we will let go of our self-dependency is through the school of hard knocks. And if you could get a doctorate in that, I would probably have one, I think. With the things I've had to go through and the lessons, sometimes God speaks to us in such a way, he's trying to teach us a certain lesson, but we don't always listen straight away, do we? Or I didn't always. And then I find that sometimes I have to learn the hard way. And I think God sometimes allows challenges into our lives to teach us these lessons and to bring us back to him and to dependency on him. And I was reading this book over sabbatical called Conformed to His Image. And there was a part in it where it says, "The Lord lovingly uses trials and adversities in a variety of creative ways in our lives. And part of the purpose of our suffering is to drive us to dependence on him alone." I don't know about you, but I don't like suffering. I don't like when things are difficult or when there's adversity in our lives. But we see throughout the history of God's church is that he uses adversity and trials. The Bible's full of people, Joseph, Moses, Jesus, Paul, that faced really difficult situations, but they didn't let go of God. And as they increased their dependency on him, he proved his faithfulness and came through for them. And I think as we do mature in our faith, our communion with God becomes foundational and sometimes more important than success in ministry. That's one of the things I was considering. You know, the ministry is still highly important, but with this change, I think the ministry itself takes on a deeper relevance and fruitfulness. Some of the things I'd been thinking over in that sabbatical period, a lot of this sermon comes out of that place of being in a time of real abiding, and that actually sometimes if we get out of the way and let God work through us more, it will become more fruitful as it's him doing his work through us. And you know, I'd been reflecting over that recently. I was sharing with someone, a spiritual mentor, that actually, do you know, this past 18 months or so, I've been enjoying my walk with God, my relationship with him, more than what I've been doing for him. That hasn't been the case for the 10, 11, 12 years preceding. It'd been more about what I was doing for him. But God wants us, as we heard in the catechism there, you know, how do we bring glory? By loving, enjoying him, loving him, and being obedient to his will for our lives. And I've been in a season of really loving the Lord and enjoying that intimacy with him. Because I think if we're each to have a lasting, effective ministry, we need to move from that paradigm where it's just us doing the ministry to a paradigm of ministering from that place of abiding. And I think that means investing time into a relationship with God, into that intimacy, being present to God and our loved ones, because that's a ministry as well. You know, my wife and kids, and ensuring that they get the time, and that just the work I do in terms of my formal ministry role through Street Connect doesn't become all consuming. Because at the end of the day, it's not even mine. It's his. He's just gave me the privilege of being a servant of his in this particular area, which he has for each of us. He's got a particular calling. You know, and when we think of when Paul speaks of the body, you know, it's to one's a hand, one, you know, we all have an eye. We've all got a part to play in the building of his kingdom here on earth. And we've all got different giftings and abilities and strengths and a calling to work in different spheres. And I do think that as we put intimacy over activity, our activity will be energised beyond anything we could have imagined. And I think for that longevity, we need to get out of the way to allow him to do this. And let me say it this way. What I think I've been learning over recently, if we don't take time to come apart, we will eventually come apart. And sadly, I've seen it in many people in full-time ministry and others who have ended up burning out in service to the Lord because it's been all-consuming. And I think as we try to take on a lot on our own shoulders, you know, that's when Jesus says in that, when he says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, you know, that the weight is on him. It's not ours, it's his. And if we walk in step with him, when yoked to him, when we live from that place of abiding in him, because he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. No one can bear fruit unless they abide in me. Because when we strive and it's in our own strength and in our own power, it's very limited. When we can tap into and live from that place of abiding and draw from the strength and power that God's given us and allow him to do his work through us, it takes less effort, less strain. We get less wearied, we'll be less burdened, and our ministry will be more fruitful. That sounds like a winning formula to me. And God in his wisdom wrote this into his word many years ago. And he shared stories throughout the history of what's written in his word. But sometimes we don't always listen and apply that the way we should. And therefore we get wearied and we get burdened. But I think that's part of the learning process. Because God wants our external action to derive from an internal reality. And this requires good, healthy rhythms, rhythms of solitude and engagement, restoration and application, intimacy with Christ and action in the world. Because the life of Jesus illustrates this pattern of seeking significant time to be alone with the Father so that he would have the inner power and the poise to deal with the outward pressures imposed upon him by his friends and his enemies. And when we really study the life of Christ on earth, we see that in action. He often withdrew. Jesus knew when to say no. Jesus knew when to say yes. When we think of a time when he came down from the mountain and the disciples come, all the people are looking for you. And Jesus says, no, we need to go to this town. I'm finished here. The need was vast. People were needing healing, but Jesus knew, because he was so in tune with the will of the Father for his life, that he knew that, no, we need to go here now. But he also knew when to be interrupted, not to be so focused that he had his schedule, that he knew there was times where things would come. You know, we think of the blind man shouting, Son of David, have mercy on me. The disciples were saying, leave him alone, he's got this to do. Jesus says, bring him to me. What do you want me to do for you? And he heals him there and then. Because Jesus is our perfect example of how to live that life of abiding and how to live that fruitful life. Because the reality is, people who work or minister without adequate restoration through prayer and biblical meditation do not have the interior resources to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in a stress-filled world. Because let's be real, we live in a stress-filled world. Mental health is prevalent. You know, we live in a very distracted world today, where information is at our fingertips, literally. We're so distracted with these things, our devices. You know, that's one learning I'm trying to do, is be more present to my wife and kids. We implemented what we call a phone box. We've not always lived with it. So when we come in from work and things, I've got my personal one, I've got my work one, and we say, right, put them in there and let's just be present with the kids and not sitting, you know, because at the end we try and relax on this, but it's also a false economy. It's not actually that relaxing, you know, but actually there's other things that God's given us where we can draw on that place of rest in him. Because during the quiet times of the devotional life, and when we draw aside from the cares of this world to spend time with the Father, we gain the perspective and the power we need to live with character and composure in the context of daily demands. Because when we're not living from that place of abiding, we're reactive, aren't we? We don't respond in a Christ-like manner and with the fruit of the Spirit a lot. Sometimes when we're hurried, when we're wearied, when we're stressed, our responses aren't always great. And our thoughts about others aren't always great. You know, we can get annoyed with our wives, with our kids, with our loved ones easier. And sometimes when you get in that place of annoyed, I don't know, how could they be doing that? And then you do draw and you go with the Lord. The Lord often deals with you, doesn't he? And you think, actually, wait a minute, it's my attitude. And you end up coming from that place of him and going and apologising yourself. Because you realise through that time with him that actually our attitudes aren't always great. And that's why it's vital that we live from that place of abiding. Because as we heard in that catechism there, you know, how do we bring, what is the chief aim of man? What is our chief way to glorify God? Christ's primary purpose for us is not doing something for him, but to know him. You know, as we know him, as we love him, as we get to know him more and more, of course, out of that place, service flows. And that service will flow in the things he wants us to do. And, you know, a prayer I've been praying of late is, Lord, your will, nothing more and nothing less. I don't want to miss what God has for me, the things he wants me to do for him, but I don't want to take things on that he doesn't want, because Luke reflecting, as I was having that period of reflection, when I reflected back, I took on probably too much. I had the work of Street Connect, I had work, church leadership, ordination, and I had so much responsibility. and it was wearying me. And I think God taught me a lesson through all this, and I kind of had to cut some of these things off to focus on the key things that God wanted me to focus on. And I think that as we live from that place of abiding, where He energizes what we do, that's where we see that fruitfulness coming to bear. And that balanced life of intimacy and activity will produce more fruit than when we try to do it ourselves. Because I often heard, I can't remember who it was, but someone said, I remember reading it, that they've got so much to do today that they can't not spend the first 2 hours in that place of prayer. And I used to think, I don't think so. If I can get 10, 20 minutes to pray because I've got so much. But that person was obviously a lot wiser than I was then. And I'm probably coming to realise that actually, do you know, there's a lot of wisdom in what he's saying. Because when we spend that time with him and commit everything into his hands, what we then do, he energises it and brings the fruit rather than us trying to make things happen. And verse 6 says this. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. And the gardeners, this is where I had to learn the hard way. So all these bushes were overgrown, particularly the blackcurrant and redcurrant. They were all overlapping, and you could see some of the leaves were starting to look a little bit diseased because they weren't getting the air. So once the fruit had came, we took it all off, and it was a mess. So I started just cutting away and cutting them back. But then I realised, it wasn't until a bit down the line, you don't prune at this stage because a lot of still the sap and things is out there. So I'm thinking, oh, am I going to get as good a harvest? So as I've watched a video and read on it more, I'm actually supposed to prune now, you know, and it went. So I'm hoping I'm going to do a bit of pruning because they are still big. But we know that in the pruning, we have to cut things back because there's sometimes a lot of the branches that aren't bearing the level of fruit that well, because sometimes Jesus wants to cut things back in our lives in order that we can be more fruitful. And the reality is, we won't finish well. As I've heard, you know, there's many I've known that have burned out. And I want to be, I don't know about you, but I want to finish the race well. I want to be like the Apostle Paul at the end of the day. He says, I finished the race well. And to do that, to have longevity for him and for our service to the King, we need to be setting that time aside to invest with him. Because we'll wither like these branches, like he says, if we're trying to exert too much energy with our own force, we will wither over time. But I want to be in that place where I can live this prayer out. I've been praying since sabbatical, is your will, your way, your time. I want his will in his way and learning in his timing. I think I was living God's will. I think I was living his way, but often timing, I probably wasn't getting right. I'm having to learn that one. As someone who likes to move quite fast and make things happen, learning to trust in God's way, how he brings things about, and in his perfect timing. And as we close, I just want to read from verse 8. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. It's really interesting. We had that number 6, where it's how do we bring glory? You know, Jesus says here, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and that really brings glory to the Father. That you bear much fruit. So what does that fruit look like? That fruit will look different for you than it will for me. You know, because God's made each of us unique, placed us in different places, as I said earlier. But the fruit that he wants to bear is specific to you, the calling he has for you, and the things he wants you to be doing for him. But it has to come from that place of abiding. And my prayer for each of us is that we will know that place of abiding. We'll cultivate that intimacy, that we'll know the Father's leading and voice, and that we'll only do the things he wants us to do, nothing more and nothing less, and that we'll abide in him. Amen.